Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off once again with the National Basketball Association playoffs led by Serbian big man Nikola Jokic. The Denver Nuggets defeated the Los Angeles Lakers Tuesday night in Game 1 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. The AP's Bruce Morton reports from Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets hung on to defeat the Lakers 132-126. As usual, leading the way was two-time MVP Nikola Jokic with 34 points, 21 rebounds, and 14 assists.
It's a playoff. I mean, we need to be aggressive. We need to win a game. So I think it's being aggressive, it's a normal right now.
Denver was up by 21 in the third quarter, only to see L.A. pull it within three with 112 to go. However, the Nuggets held the Lakers scoreless the rest of the way, running their home court playoff record to 7-0. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Anthony Davis led the Lakers with 40 points and 10 rebounds. Talk to us, AD.
Definitely one of them nights, but, you know, we encouraged about, you know, second half of the game and things we can get better at and make some adjustments on to game two.
Game two in the Lakers-Nuggets series is Thursday night in Denver. In more NBA news, the San Antonio Spurs have won the lottery for the top pick in the June 22nd NBA draft. It means the Spurs will get French phenom Victor Wembanyama, who was seen as the best prospect since LeBron James in 2003. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh has that story, as well as the Philadelphia 76ers firing their head coach.
The San Antonio Spurs won the NBA draft lottery and the number one overall pick on Tuesday night, guaranteeing them a chance to select top prospect Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama, a 7'3" French 19-year-old, is one of the most highly touted prospects in NBA history and will be expected to make an immediate impact on the league. The Spurs were one of three teams with the best odds at 14% to land the number one pick. It's the third time they won the lottery. They drafted David Robinson in 1987 and Tim Duncan 10 years later. The Philadelphia 76ers fired coach Doc Rivers on Tuesday following a third straight exit in the second round of the playoffs. Rivers led the 76ers to their second straight 50-win season behind NBA MVP Joel Embiid, but again failed to lead them to the Eastern Conference Finals. The 76ers held a 3-2 semifinal series lead against Boston before dropping Game 6 at home and being crushed in Game 7 on the road. Rivers has won 1,097 games and lost 763 in 24 seasons on the sidelines with the Magic, Celtics, Clippers, and Sixers. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. Getting back to Victor Wembanyama, he'll be joining a Spurs team known for its international ties. His French countrymen, Tony Parker and Boris Diaw, were part of championship teams in San Antonio. And Hall of Fame player Manu Ginobili, who is from Argentina, won four NBA titles with the Spurs.
Golly, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top eight teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda. Let's take a look at the quarterfinal matchups. Remember, Sunny Side of Sports listeners, the BAL playoffs are single elimination, so it's win or go home. In the opening game at the BK Arena in Kigali, Stade Malien of Mali will meet the Cape Town Tigers of South Africa. And that will be followed by a playoff game featuring the hometown team, Rwanda Energy Group, or REG. REG will go against Al Ahly of Egypt. On Sunday, AS Douan of Senegal will play Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique. And 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda of Angola will meet Abidjan Basketball Club of Ivory Coast. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at VOAAfrica.com. In European club football, Inter Milan reached its first UEFA Champions League final in more than a decade with a 1-0 victory over city rival AC Milan. Inter's striker from Argentina, Lautaro Martinez, scored the goal in the 74th minute as Inter won the semifinal on aggregate 3-0. Inter players and staff celebrated afterwards with their fans singing and dancing at San Siro, the stadium the team share. Inter Milan will now face either Real Madrid or Manchester City in Istanbul on June 10th. The second leg of the other semifinal is later Wednesday night in England with the scoreline locked at 1-1. Meanwhile, Inter Milan is currently in third place in Italy's Serie A with 66 points, 17 points behind Napoli, which has already clinched the league title. Napoli has received a big spark from Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen, whose 23 goals make him the highest scoring African in a single season in Serie A. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Osimhen's former Nigeria under-17 coach Emmanuel Amunike talked about discovering Victor 9 years ago.
Victor came to the national under-17 screen in Abuja in 2014, just like every other young players that are not seeing the ambition, you know, to represent their country at that category. He came, and then that was where myself and my team, we were able to see him, and we believe that, you know, he can form part of the team. And then that was how we, you know, we discovered Victor. And today we are happy for what, you know, he has turned out to be.
While training Victor, did you foresee him to be a great player capable of achieving greatness in football?
I believed in Victor. This is a young lad that I have seen his transformation from the under-17 level to the highest level of football. And you could see week in, week out how he's scoring. Even before he went to Napoli, he went to Belgium. And he was scoring there. From there, a team came from France and they bought him. And from France, he was able to establish himself. And from there, he moved to Napoli. And after 2 seasons, you know, for a very long time, after 33 years, and Napoli, you know, were able to be crowned as the champion. I think Victor has the potential, albeit he's still the highest goal scorer with 10 goals at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Chile. So he had about Victor is that Irregardless of his height, you know, Victor is very, very technical and coordinated and combined with speed. So I think it's very, very difficult to see such players with height. They can be able to manage those three factors, speed, coordination, and the technical ability, and also the finishing. So I think it's a great thing, and it's a thing of joy, you know, seeing Victor, the way he has transformed. And all what we pray and wish, you know, continue to hope, is that he continue to do what he loves, because he's somebody from even when we were in the national team under 17, he's somebody that he doesn't like losing, even in the training. So he is passionate about what he's doing. He's committed, and it's a very good thing. So I wish him all the very best of luck.
Are you still in contact with Victor Osimhen? And do you think he has potentials to score more goals in Serie A?
I have always believed that every player, you know, have the ability to become great players. And today, Victor, you know, there is no doubt about Victor, right from the first day. And every player has different quality. There are some players that are technically very good and sound. There are players that are tactically very good and sound. There are players that are speed-wise very strong, very good in speed. So, but it all depends on one. How do you potentially and open-minded to develop yourself to list in and then look at the strength, your strength, and then look at your weak side to work on it. And Victor, there is no doubt, I never have doubt about him, that he's not going to succeed. And I always remember after each game during the under-17 World Cup, and the question is always that why is it that players from Nigeria, they never made that transformation from the youth level to the senior level. But today we are seeing Victor in 2015 and 2023. He is one of the pillars of our national team today. So it's a good thing, and it's something for the younger generations, you know, to emulate from. So there is no doubt about him, and there is no doubt about his potential.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Spain.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria, Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In 2 months, Rwandan football referee Salima Mukunsanga will be one of four Africans to officiate at the FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. Early last year in Cameroon, Mukunsanga made history as the first woman to officiate at the Men's Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Then, in late 2022, she was one of the first female referees chosen for the Men's World Cup tournament in Qatar. VOA's Gwen Uten brings us a profile of Mukunsanga as she gets set to blaze another trail on the football pitch. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In January, the FIFA Referees Committee announced the names of match officials who had been selected for this year's Women's World Cup. And Rwandan Salima Mukunsanga has made the list of central referees who will officiate the upcoming tournament. At the start of 2022, Mukunsanga made history in Cameroon when she became the first woman to referee a match at the Men's Africa Cup of Nations. And following her appointment, Mukunsanga said becoming the first woman to officiate an AFCON game will pave the way for more female referees on the continent.
We are here not because we had favor to be here. It's just chance. Because we deserve to be here. We have a background, and from that background is passion. And from that passion is hard work. And from that hard work, this is the fruit. So back home, we have been working very hard because a lot say women, they can't run at the pace of men's speed and whatever. Yes, we can't be men, but we can do our best to be on the same level. It's honor. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure to me, to the rest of women, African women referees. It's a moment, it's an opportunity we get now to open the door and to show that all women African, they are capable. They can reach to that stage. They can deliver what they know and what they have, and they are ready for the next.
That same year, Ugandan sports journalist Usha Kumungisha told Reuters News, Mukansanga displays the same ease and determination on the pitch that helped her reach the pinnacle of football on the African continent.
You have to go all the way back to 1957. That is 65 years of AFCON history, and she's right here in the center and doing an incredible job. You know, when I see her, it's really a story of, you know, a woman who is resilient. At 33, she's handling, you know, games at the biggest tournament on this continent. It's an inspiration for women who want to be like her, because, in fact, for so many people who don't know, when she started her career, when she got the interest to be a referee, she was playing football in primary and secondary school. And then the Rwandan FA at the time said, look, you're very young to be a referee. But she waited out. She taught herself the rules of the game. And here she is.
Football fans who witnessed Mukansanga make history at AFCON in 2022 called it a big step forward for women in Africa.
Seeing a woman being empowered, this means that we're going forward, moving as Africa, whereby women are being represented and are being also involved in these sports that, you know, for a long time they is regarded as for men. So seeing a woman, it also shows power. We're seeing women doing great things. So I'm so proud of the referee, and I'm also proud of me as a woman.
I think it's going to inspire other women in the continent to compete and go for the course as well, so that they can compete on greater events like the AFCON competitions.
Mukansanga's success has been fueled by a passion for the sport, with an interest that began as a player and then shifted to the middle of the field as a referee. Kigali WFC team coach Ejidi Kayatesi trained Mukansanga in her youth and remembers her as a standout athlete. Kayatesi says, I had a good time with her. Mukansanga has an exceptional character, and when she has a match, she prepares for it by consulting refereeing books to do things correctly. She is someone who gives great importance to each game, and that's why Salima has reached this level. Mukansanga was involved in matches at the Tokyo Olympics in 2021, and after making history at AFCON last year, she became one of the first female referees in history to officiate the Men's FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Mukansanga is now preparing to officiate her second Women's World Cup after making her tournament debut in 2019. She'll be joined by three central referees from Africa at this year's Women's World Cup: Morocco's Boutra Karboubi, Togolese referee Vicentia Emadome, and Akhona Makalima of South Africa. The 2023 World Cup tournament will be held in Australia and New Zealand, the first ever co-hosted Women's World Cup. The tournament kicks off with a group stage match between hosts New Zealand and Norway on July 20th. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Like Ferdinand Omanyala, Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Azamati is hoping to get on the podium at this year's World Championships in Hungary. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi tells us more. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Benjamin Azamati got to the Commonwealth Games with high hopes. After a great indoor year, sweeping records everywhere he turned, he did not have a great time at the Olympic Games that year. The Games, the biggest for every athlete, was too big a stage for the young athlete who had just started out and had gotten his first ever break on the world stage. But at the Commonwealth Games too, he could not deliver. It frustrated him heavily when he missed out on the 4x100 relay race, which was an event Ghana could have won a medal in. Now back in training after a long break, Azamati says he feels fresh and ready to go.
Training has been good. Now the weather is becoming pretty good. So we're back on the track and honestly, I feel good. I mean, I think this has been the best fall that I've had in terms of how I feel towards training and everything. And then also I'm working on my start, which has been pretty much good because I think in the indoor, New Balance Grand Prix. I don't know if you saw that with Trayvon and Noah Laos. It was really good. I was right there with them. So I think it's something that is positive, something that I think ever since I started working on it, I've been good. And so we have to move on to other things like my 200. I'm really working on my 200 now, which will also, you know, benefit me in my 100. So that has been the things that I'm focusing on. And then also, you know, my mentality and everything. I know I learned quite some things in World Champs and Olympics and everything. I think it's all mental. So that is what I'm actually working on.
In his very short athletic career, Azamati has been at the World Championships, the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, the Diamond League, and is a gold winner in the 4x100 relay at the Africa Games. In this time, Azamati has not quite performed in international competitions he has been in. A lot of it largely because of his poor start to races, thereby losing steam to many of his opponents when the race gets into the dry phase. The 25-year-old says it had a lot to do with underestimating himself and over-respecting his opponents. He believes he is in the right frame of mind to trump it in future competitions.
One mistake I made was when I transitioned into pro from college. I mean, when I was in college, these were the people that I was looking up to, people I was actually learning from and all that. So when I got to that stage, I was more of like a fan. You know, I mean, these are people you looked up to and now you're running with them. So I was kind of like, you know, still a fan, you know. And I felt like that was the mistake I made, being a fan and not being really competitive when I was on the big stage. But now everything has changed because we are all being sponsored. We all have to run to be able to, you know, get the money and all that. So my mentality has changed. When I go there, we all mean business. We all line up. We all want the money. We all want to run for our country. We all want to make our country proud. So, I mean, that has been the mentality. I think everybody's prepared. But what makes one win is how focused the person is and how, you know, mentally prepared the person is.
The World Championships are back in Budapest this year. It is a sport Azamati is eyeing closely. He wants to go there and make an impact. But first,
for the beginning, my coach and I want to, you know, run a couple of meets here in the USA to prepare me before I go to Europe to run a couple of the Diamond Leagues. And also this year, I think I'm going to be doing more of the 200s, just for me to, you know, to be able to, you know, get my hands on the 200 too, because I want to double in the world champs. And for 100 meters, I think I'm ranked 18th now. So I think we're good with that. And then running the Damolix and all would help me, you know, with my ranking. And I have no doubt I'm also going to run the qualifying mark if the need be. And so, yeah, just running the big meets to prepare me for the World Championship come August.
Being ranked 18th in the world is like extremely huge. That's like the top 20 in the world. I mean, how does that make you feel? You know, just looking back to where you started from all the way to this point, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I mean, always I want to do stuff that will inspire people back home or even the athletes that are here with me in the United States. So it feels good. It feels amazing. I mean, I was just a nobody when I was in Ghana. And now I'm able to, you know, be ranked among the top guys in the world. So it feels good. It feels amazing to me. But there are things that when I look back, it motivates me to do more. I mean, I can be at the top one day. So there are things that really motivate me. And, you know, when you get to those big cities and everything, you don't just want to compete, but you also want to win something. So I'm ranked, and that's fine, and that's inspiring. But, you know, there are other things I also want to achieve, like getting a medal for my country.
In all of this, Azamati is looking to head back into the Olympic Games next year with a renewed sense of strength and a refreshed mind to blaze everyone else off the track. If Tokyo wasn't his great moment, he believes Paris will be better.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's 10, because I think Olympic is like the ultimate when it comes to track and field. So, yes, I want an Olympic medal, and I don't think any Ghanaian athlete has had that. And so to be able to do it, I think it will be really, really amazing. And then that is what I'm actually working for, aside, you know, money to feed family and everything, and also to inspire the young people. I think getting a medal for your country is something big and something huge and something that will be very, very, very inspiring for the young generation.
For Benjamin, the sky is the limit. He has made a huge impact already in athletics in Ghana. But there is nothing he would want more than to become the first ever Olympic medalist for Ghana in athletics. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Stay informed and up to date Monday to Friday at 3:30 UTC with VOA's International Edition.
Our correspondents bring you the news from around the world.
We explore the day's biggest stories with expert analysis and interviews, providing greater understanding for the global audience.
VOA's International Edition, your best source for news and information.
And let's wrap things up with a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute for Sugar Ray Leonard. Regarded as one of the greatest boxers of all time, Sugar Ray is celebrating his 67th birthday on this Wednesday. He won world titles in 5 weight classes. Sugar Ray, also a member of the Four Kings, a group of boxers who all fought each other throughout the 1980s, consisting of Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Thomas the Hitman Hearns, and marvelous Marvin Hagler. Sugar Ray Leonard also won a gold medal at the 1976 Olympics. Happy 67th birthday, Sugar Ray Leonard. And that wraps up the May 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.